There's no law against a large company appointing a former powerful cabinet minister to its board of directors. There's no law against that former minister taking the appointment. What is wrong is a company having undue influence on government, made possible by campaign donations or other favors done. The merits of the late Duke Point project, a gas-fired energy project near Nanaimo, are beyond my ken. I'm not a power expert, most often don't fully understand those who are. I am, however, with some experience in sniffing out political smells. BC Hydro had made Duke Point a done deal. That was the way Vancouver Island was going to get its power, and if you don't like it, too bad. Well, environmentalists didn't like it and took the matter to court and got second prize. No one expected that an appeal would be successful, and in fact, it wasn't. What the environmentalists did gain was leave to appeal, which is a hell of a long way from winning the appeal. Then somehow, Duke Point became unglued. Although BC Hydro had spent $120 million in putting Duke Point together, it suddenly reversed its field, canceled the project, and did so without any backup plan in place. The story to this point is breathtaking. There had been no, so far as we know, new evidence before Hydro. They hadn't suddenly had some sort of environmental epiphany. They just up and quit the project. One that had been studied to death, heard to death, and debated to death. What makes Porous Giant Norsk suddenly center stage? How come they're suddenly in the game? Well, they are. And of course, my thanks to Bill Tillman for his article last week in bringing this all to the attention of the public. Well, again, there's no law against a company wanting to sell energy to the government or anyone else. We've long heard how wonderful it would be if cogeneration were given a closer look by Hydro when they buy electricity. Cogeneration roughly meaning the electricity that is accidentally created by an industrial activity such as forestry and paper companies. Now, there's no law against a company like Norsk looking at other ways to make money, selling electricity to Hydro, whether it be by burning rubber tires, creating electricity by coal or gas plants or whatever. There's also nothing illegal by the Liberal government flooding control of local health boards with Norsk people, and nothing illegal in any of those people taking the positions. Moreover, there's nothing illegal about Norsk giving $25,000 a year to the provincial Liberals. No, there's nothing illegal about any of this, but it does raise some pretty interesting questions. Norsk wanted to supply power to the government's corporation Hydro long ago. Now, is that why they appointed Mr. Collins to a sinecure that'll net him about $50,000 a year? Were there discussions between Norsk and the Campbell government, which in essence resulted in a nudge-nudge, wink-wink, do you get my drift deal that saw the government helping out an old pal in exchange for a political donor making some dough? And as part of this deal, abandoning Duke Point so that Norsk would make a pile of money providing power lost by that cancellation. In other words, are we to believe that there are no dots to connect here? That it all was, in Vaughn Palmer's great phrase, just an amazing coincidence? The Collins went on Norsk's board just before Duke Point was canceled, and Norsk thus came into the position of making a pisspot full. While we're pondering this, let's look north to Kitimat, B.C., where slowly but very surely, Alcan is getting out of the aluminum business and even deeper into the electricity business. Now, here too is an amazing story. By the agreement made between Alcan and the B.C. government back in the late 40s, where Alcan was being allowed to rape the environment and put in its mill, it was given at that time permission to create power, quote, for the works and the vicinity, unquote. In other words, Alcan was putting in a plant, and it could produce electricity for that aluminum plant and the necessary electricity for the surroundings, and that's that. Well, in 1993, at the beginning of the Kamano 2 debate, I got into, along with many, many others, a debate. And then Vice President Bill Rich came on my program, and in a fit of pique, blurted out that Alcan was really in the electricity business, notwithstanding that agreement, notwithstanding the statute. Now, the city of Kitimat, which I might say has changed its tune about Alcan since those days, which now sees itself as a ghost town in the making, is suing Alcan and the government. But you see, it's up against this legal snag. The only party was standing to force Alcan to live up to that agreement and the law is the province of BC itself. And they, of course, have been happily violating that agreement for a long time. And did Premier Campbell on this show mean it when he talked about the cold water release facility on Kenny Lake, so that finally it's going to be in place to help the migrating sockeye up the Nechaco, the decimation of which is a consequence of Alcan's power greed? Is that coming by way of softening this all up for perhaps a Comano 3 project and even more electricity from Alcan into the grid, contrary to the agreement and contrary to the law? And of course, there is the lingering ghost of Site C. Stay tuned, folks. The power business is about to get very interesting. And as with most recent dealings by BC Hydro in this area, politics will trump engineering and science every time. If you doubt that, ask Mr. Collins. The far-reaching ties of the sponsorship scandal is our story coming up. And after the news at the top of the hour, John Cummins will be in to pay a tribute to Chuck Cadman. Mark Mullins, director of the Ontario Policy Studios of the Fraser Institute, with me, Rafe Mayer, on 600 AM, right after.